It's a huge blessing to hear these messages and understand that they're from God's Word. And what a enjoyment it is to hear what God has to tell us through His Word and through His speakers here, through the messages that we've heard. You know, so many things nowadays we are seeing that is not real. You can think of all kinds of things. Things that are made that are make-believe. Things that appear to be what they are not. We have, through the computers, a whole new venue of make-believe sorts of things. Programs that are made up. Things that look so real, sometimes it's hard to tell whether they really are or not. And so I suspect that there's a little element there of someone trying to get us to believe that heaven is not for real. But Christians know what? For sure it's for real, isn't it? And we're so thankful for that. What He must have in store for us in heaven one day. It's almost mind-boggling, isn't it? It is mind-boggling. We'll take a lot of years to work through some of the different aspects of that. Tonight we have Nona Wells, and she's going to talk to us about the reality of the earth made new. And we're all looking forward to that, aren't we? I hope you are. That's been the the crux of these meetings. As you know, the overall title for this series is Truth for Today and Hope for Tomorrow. And that is, as we know, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is one who wants to take you home with Him. And this is where He wants us to be with Him. I'm so thankful we have that message. Nona?
Tonight, I'd like to start with a story. It was about a king. His name was Meshech Melech Atik, and he lived in the land of Emes. And his name means the King of Ancient Powers. And before we have prayer tonight, I would like to tell this story so that it will lead into our program, okay? He lived in a land where he had lots of kingdoms. How vast this kingdom was, we don't know. But every one of his kingdoms had been won and maintained by love. He had no enemies except one, Kazab. There was a war. And he won the victory over Kazab so fast and so easy. And he didn't do away with him. He put him in exile. Well, there was one thing. There was rumors that started around in the world. Well, did you know that this amazing king of power and of love has a dark side to him? You just cross him and find out. He'll let you know. There was one thing. The king worried about this. So he sent his messengers out around the world. And he had all the information brought back to him. He decided, well, maybe I better go take a look. And so he went to the different kingdoms. And when he came to this one kingdom, he looked out through. People were bowing, praising him. But when he got to one face only, there was a blankness. There was no love there. There was no praising. And he went home and he said, maybe they do believe this story about me, that I am not of love. He says, well, I'm in love with that one girl I saw there. And he told his counselors, I'm in love with her. He says, they said, oh, there's nothing to it. Just go tell her that you want her to be your wife. He says, but then I would never know if she married me because she loved me or she wanted my money, my wealth, my power. He says, I must have her for love. I know what I'll do. He says, I'll disguise myself. I will change the way I look. I'll come as a commoner. I'll take up a trade. I will win her love. She will love me for me, for my heart, for my goodness, and won't believe the rumors that are spent, that are told about me. So he disguised himself, and he came to the village, and he took on carpentry, and he worked there, and he loved. And one day he met the young lady, and he said, I would like to know you better. And she says, I would like to know you better too. I hear things in the village about you. After a time, he says to her, I would like to date you. She says, that would be fine. I would like to date you too. And as they fell in love with each other, he says, oh, it'll be soon. Soon I'll tell her who I am. But there was something about her that she just would hold back. And one day she made the remark. He said, what do you think of the king? And she said, I don't believe he's all love. I believe there's a dark side to him. Oh, that hurt his heart so bad. A dark side to me? I'm the same person that has loved her these months, these years. And he said, why do you believe the rumors? And she says, oh, people told me, your father? Who's your father? Oh, I said, my people, the people told me. No. He thought, who is your father? She finally broke down and started crying, and she said, Kazab, he's my father. He's in exile. And he says that the king has a dark side. As time went on, he said, how could I ever make her love me? And then he says, I'll keep on loving her, and she will learn to love me for me. And one day he says, will you be my bride? And she says, oh, yes, yes. He says, but I want you to come to my kingdom and be my bride. The wedding will take place there. And she said, oh, yes. And the villagers were all so happy for her. And they started on the way. And when they got to the kingdom, everybody was bowing and praising him. And she says, what kind of an entrance is this? This is like a king. Sure enough, he turned to her and he says, yes, I am the king. And she says, oh. He says, I'm the same person that disguised myself to reveal. I concealed to reveal who I really am. I am a God of love. You are the bride that he wants tonight. And the land is the land of truth. We can count on the Bible because it is the truth. So tonight I'm asking you, is heaven real? And with that thought, let's bow our heads for prayer. Oh, dearest Father, we're so glad that you love us with an everlasting love, that you concealed yourself to reveal yourself, that we would love you forever, because you are our God. Tonight we ask you for your Holy Spirit, a double portion, that it may fall on us like the rain is falling outside. And that you will dress us in the beautiful white garments you have prepared for us, your righteousness. Hide me behind the cross tonight as I speak, that it would be you glorified. And we thank you tonight for being here. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is the most wonderful topic we have that we could end this series with. Is heaven real? Oh, I would like to ask you a question tonight. If you were the ruler of this world, would you want to change anything? I'm sure that you would want a world of peace and harmony. You would want to do away with all the suffering, sadness, poverty, violence, and death. Just think, no more wars or tears or disappointed hopes and dreams. If you would make this kind of a world a perfect place of happiness, then let me ask you another question. What kind of a world do you think God would make? We know the answer to that one, don't we? Let's look at the first book of the Bible. In Genesis, we find how the Creator designed and fashioned the perfect world for His children. And as we saw the movie tonight, we could tell He was a God of design and fashion, even underwater. There was no sin or suffering, disease, discouragement, and no death. And then we go to the very end of the Bible, and there we find a perfect world again. Everything as perfect as it was in the beginning. So what happened in between Genesis and Revelation? As you look around today, we can see war and starvation, violence, suffering, death. Now I'm going to ask you another question. Does this look like the world, the perfect world that God created? No, friends, for we are living in a time between the perfect earth created and the perfect earth restored. Life isn't easy down here. Through sin, Satan has made this world his personal playground, but not forever and not for long. Everyone here tonight knows what it's like to feel pain, to lose someone you love in death, to struggle with fear and worry, and to live with illness and depression. But tonight, I want to hold out to you this amazing, wonderful book called the Holy Bible. It tells us we're going to go home. But before we do, God will restore this earth. It will be just as perfect as when He created it in the beginning. God made this earth, let's call it Earth number one. It was perfect in every way, but sin came in and marred it. Sin has ruined so much of what God has created. The time is coming when God will recreate the earth. And tonight we will enjoy what the Bible says about the earth made new. We will look at the incredible wonders of Earth number two. For back when God created the earth, He made everything very good. God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was His design that they lived there forever. He gave Adam and Eve healthy bodies. There was no distrust, hatred, jealousy, resentment, or politics. But sin interrupted God's plan, didn't it? Rebellion raised its ugly head again for the second time. The trust in God was gone. The desires of Adam and Eve's heart had changed. They thought God was holding out on them. We do want to be like God. They placed their desires and opinions on someone else other than the authority of God. Can you see the loving face of God when He tells them, "You have to leave the tree of life, the garden with the tree of life, lest you become eternal sinners"? God loves His children so much that He reveals His plan to rescue them. God promised Adam and Eve the garden would be restored. And all the prophets look forward to the time of this restoration down through the years. Acts 3:20 and 21 tells us, "And that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." One day, a new world, no suffering, no more heartache, sorrow, or death. One day, you and I can look up into the heavens as Revelation 1:7 promises us. "Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Reward. To have a life that measures with the life of God, that is the reward. This is reality, that one day Christ will come with his Father. The sky is very polluted now, but soon, very soon, it will reflect the glory of God. For Jesus is coming to take us home. Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Tonight I'm asking you, have you lost a loved one or a friend by death? Well, don't be sad. God is going to restore all things. One day the earth will shake as the voice of God speaks. Awake, awake, ye that sleep in the dust of the earth. The call rolls like peals of loudest thunder to wake the dead in Christ. Our loved ones will be raised to stand beside us. And together we will be looking up into a sky illuminated with the glory of God. This is reality, my friends. For when Christ comes, he will restore all things. It is very evident that there is something wrong in our world tonight. In Africa, one tribe is killing the people of another tribe. In the Middle East, the Palestinians and the Israelis are fighting. Children are around the world dying of starvation. On the highways, drunken drivers take another life. In every hospital, thousands are dying of cancer. Something is wrong, but Christ tells us this sin problem won't last forever. Jesus is going to restore all things. One day our bodies will be changed. The Bible describes it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 53. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Will it be a make-believe body like a vapor or a mist? Oh no. God has a master key to unlock our knowledge of heaven. Yes, the Bible tells us in Philippians 3:20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. We now have sinful mortal bodies, but when we're resurrected, or when he comes, we will be transformed. It will be as if sin has never entered you. You will maintain your identity, but with a perfect body. Then you ask yourself, but will your friends recognize you? Of course. The Bible says our bodies will be like Christ's body. After the resurrection, Mary came to the garden, weeping, looking for Jesus. She thought that Jesus was the gardener. Jesus called her by name, Mary, Mary. Oh, she recognized him by his voice. And then the disciples from Emmaus recognized Jesus by the way he blessed and broke the bread. We will recognize each other in heaven too. We will have perfect bodies restored to reflect the image of Jesus, just like Adam and Eve had in the beginning. You ask yourself, but what about the unsaved? Those who have remained on the earth during the 1,000 years? The Bible tells us that at the end of the 1,000 years, the holy city will descend from God out of heaven. Do you see the foundation of the city? It has all the colors of the rainbow. A promise fulfilled. Every stone a reflection of the beauty and the character of God. John has one of the most magnificent passages in all the Bible. He described what would happen at the end of the 1,000 years in Revelation 21:1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. John is on the Isle of Patmos when this vision comes. He was separated from his family and loved ones. To John, the sea meant loneliness and separation. John saw no more separation. In verse 2 it continues, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them.'" The universe revolves around God's throne. But wait, God is moving his throne to this planet, and he is remaking this planet new all over again. As the holy city descends, it captures the attention of the wicked. They have been resurrected by God to receive their final reward too. When Satan sees the city, he makes one last attempt to take the city. "Come on, everyone, we can do it. There's more of us than them." As Satan and the wicked surround the beloved city, God tells us in Revelation 29, "They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down out of heaven and devoured them." Out of the ashes of this old world, God will make a new world. In Revelation 21:4, he describes with love and tenderness of how God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. "There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Have you ever wondered what you will do for millions of years in the new earth? We will travel to distant worlds with Jesus. We will study the wonders of the universe, for God is a lover of great design. Are you interested in nature? Then just wait. The angels will explain to you the mysteries of chlorophyll and much more. I've already learned some about chlorophyll in Sabbath school from Dr. Luke and his wife. But there's so much more to learn. The new earth is a place for those who want challenges. Our new minds will even be more inquisitive. Just think, we will use 100% of our brains instead of just 10%. We will want to explore the history of the universe, because Isaiah 65:17 tells us, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains." In the new earth, nothing will bring fear to your heart. We will be united all together in Jesus. Then in Isaiah 65:21-23, it tells us, "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them." We will wander through magnificent gardens, seeing as we've never seen before. Nature will speak its mysteries to us. We will taste fruit we've never tasted before, and I love to taste exotic fruit. We will visit exotic places in the universe. Matthew 8:11 tells us something else. "And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." The Bible says you can sit down with Abraham. Abraham lived like a wanderer, always looking forward with confidence to the time when God's promises would be fulfilled. I want to know about the joy Abraham felt over the lamb God provided in the place of his son Isaac. And then we think of Moses. Let's look at Hebrews 11:24-25. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing of pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." We will be able to sit down with Moses and to talk to him about all his troubles and all his travels. and about crossing the Red Sea. But when you're asking about the troubles, do you think he will tell us? Oh, he will say, heaven is cheap enough. Or you might ask Daniel, did you sleep with your head resting on the side of a big lion that night in the lion's den? Or Paul about the Damascus road. Paul, why did it take being blinded by the light to open your eyes and make you see? Tonight, I'm sorry to say that we too have failed to take in the greatness, to perceive the beauty of the truth which God has entrusted to us today. Then to Peter, you might say, Peter, tell me, what did you feel like when you were sinking in the waves as you tried to walk on the Sea of Galilee? I want to know about the peace you felt when Jesus took a hold of your hand and lifted you up. And as we talk with all of them, they may ask you to tell them your story. Tell me, what was it like when you went to the meetings of Truth for Today and Hope for Tomorrow? Did you learn anything new? Did you learn about me? What happened to your job when you asked for the Sabbath off? This one is, what choices did you have to make to put God and His kingdom first? We will all share stories together. And our testimony, no matter what time period we live in, will be about Jesus and His great deliverances. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And as I was studying for this, I found out that the leaves represent the knowledge of God. And this is life eternal, to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. To eat of this fruit is to live forever. Christ is the tree of life to all who will pluck and eat. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. It will be Sabbath as we travel to the temple. The temple is filled with the glory of God. We will see and hear the choirs of angels singing, holy, holy, holy. The Father stands up. We want to tell you how the worlds were created. Jesus says, I formed and fashioned the Father's will in the creation of all the hosts of heaven. The Holy Spirit hovered or moved on the spoken word. What a beautiful creation of a perfect world. But rebellion interrupted our plans. So I came to earth ready to risk everything, even heaven itself, just so you could be there with me. While Jesus is talking and you listen intently, but can our minds even imagine such love? After the Sabbath service, as we're leaving the temple, Jesus says, I want to spend time with you personally. Me? Do you have the time? Jesus smiles and says, this is eternity. I have all the time there is. Jesus will come to your new home. He has so much He wants to talk to you about and share about Himself. Together, Jesus takes all of us on a tour through the new earth. Look about you tonight. Look around. See who is here. This is part of the family we'll spend eternity with. Jesus turns to you and me and to the others and He says, welcome home, children. This is the place I've prepared for you. No wonder the angels love to repeat it over and over. Who is this King of Glory? The echo comes back in reply. The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is this King of Glory. We take off the crowns that He has placed on us, and we bow at His feet, praising Him throughout eternity. Friends of mine, we all must be there. Soon this world will pass away and a new earth will have taken its place. Do not miss out on that world and being with Jesus and those you love forever. No more parting, no more sadness. Tonight you can really be sure there's plenty of room in the mansions He's prepared for you. The true definition of heaven is the presence of Jesus. As the song tells us, if Jesus is there, it will be heaven for me. Heaven is cheap at any cost. O eternal Father, we're so thankful for Your Son, Jesus. We're so thankful for this love that will not let us go. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank You for the heaven that You've prepared for us, because Jesus is heaven for us. Tonight I ask You to remember each one of us when You come into Your kingdom, that not one of us would be lost, but that we would all be there to greet You and to say, this is our God. We have waited for Him and He will save us. Oh, thank You, Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.